Welcome to the podcast from Eden Worship Center. Because we believe that it is God's word that does God's work in God's people, we want you to hear the gospel preached in the gathering of believers. We want you to read it for yourself and to join us as we think together and talk together about the sermon from this past week and what's going on in our world. You can join the conversation by sending in your comments and questions to edenwc@hotmail.com. May God cause his word to come alive in your heart today. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the EWC Midweek Podcast. Pastor Matt here. Just coming to you from the office real quick, because this is going to be a little bit different of a week. We've got a sermon coming up on Sunday as we're going to be looking at Psalms. This past week, we looked at the whole idea of follow me and discipleship and following Jesus. Next week, a bunch of us from the leadership team are going to be headed to the Pastors and Leaders Conference down at the Ark Encounter down in Kentucky. And given the time frame, I realize there's no way we're going to be able to have a midweek podcast next week. So I want to just kind of incorporate this past week and this week into our quick discussion here. And so maybe just a little bit of background on the thoughts for this past Sunday. One of the things that really concerns me as a pastor, as somebody who's just been around the church and cares about church people, is how many people in their daily lives can go through all the motions. They show up to church. They're part of a Bible study or a community group. They talk a certain way, or they try not to talk a different way. But when it really comes right down to it, it's almost all just external religion and not actually a life-giving faith in Jesus Christ. And what happens is when tough times come, when that gets tested, what they really think, what they really believe, who they truly are kind of comes to the surface. And genuinely, you're either going to discover that it's genuine faith or that it is a counterfeit. And our concern for a long time now has been like, God, help us not build anything counterfeit here. Man, there was a time where we had all kinds of programs and things going on, and our church was very sort of attractional model. And we discovered that we had a lot of people coming, and many of them either weren't converted at all, they weren't even believers, or many who were converted actually just weren't disciples. They weren't following Jesus. They weren't being formed and shaped into his image and likeness. And guess what? When we pulled the plug on a lot of those program things, the cool, fun, let's keep up with culture type of tractional things, about half of them disappeared. And since then, Lord willing, what we've been saying is, God, make us those who are truly committed, who are true disciples, believers, followers of Jesus Christ. So that was kind of the hope on Sunday, just to remind us of that, to call us towards that, what it looks like to be faithful, what it looks like to be diligent in our walk with the Lord, and not just assume that because we're there on a Sunday morning that that automatically means we're a Christian. Keith Green, who's one of my favorite singers from the 70s and 80s, had a rather famous saying, which was, going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. And the same thing with being a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. That happens when Jesus Christ regenerates a dead heart to life. So that's what we want for our people. That's what we want for you. We want to encourage you towards greater faithfulness in your walk with the Lord. As part of that, that's why we're doing the Psalm series that we're doing, and we're doing it really different. We believe, as we preach expositionally through the Psalms, that it is a coherent book. The Psalms are in order for a reason, that there's an argument being made, there's a message being given, and yet we've looked at it really different. In fact, we've looked at it like those who don't necessarily take an expositional look at the Psalms, as those who just go, well, there's some Psalms that sound like this and some Psalms that sound like that. So they just sort of bunch them up together. These are the lament songs and these are the praise songs. And we want to lean really heavily on the expositional textual truth of what we have in the Psalms. And at the same time that we've chosen to go through in these groupings, so that this coming week, we're going to be looking at the Psalms of meditation. We're not doing it because we think those are the distinctives of these Psalms and therefore separate them from all the rest. It's a coherent whole. It's a book of Psalms. But we're doing it that way for your sake, for the sake of the believer nowadays, who, as you examine your own heart, as you look at your walk with the Lord, the book of Psalms is really a toolkit that you can take with you, that you can incorporate into your thoughts and prayers, into your time with Jesus. And so with each one, we've been saying, consider this as therapy for the soul. Consider this, man, in a day and age where people get depressed and anxious and all kinds of stuff, and they go to therapy, they go to counseling, which, man, that can be really good. It can be really helpful. And at the same time, there's a chance that the things that we are listening to and clinging to actually aren't pointing us towards faithfulness in the gospel or trust in Jesus Christ, trust in something else, whether it's yourself, someone else, even just coping mechanisms to go, yeah, the world's terribly broken, just get over it, learn to cope, or lock yourself in the house. I just think that's really unhelpful when God has given us this entire book of songs filled with either praise or lament, psalms of meditation on who God is, psalms of glorying in the fact that he's the king, the psalms of looking towards the great city of our God. And so this week we're looking at psalms of meditation, and hopefully calling and encouraging you to meditate upon God and upon his word. So I've got some examples for us here, and we're this is a little bit of a preview of what we're going to be doing on Sunday. But we have this opinion when it comes to our thoughts and our feelings, that what happens is I get a feeling, I feel a certain way emotionally, and then that impacts how I feel, like physically, how I feel mentally. It impacts the things I do, the things that I say. But when we consider it, and there's a little diagram here, it's all external to us, right? So you have this little sad guy in the middle who sometimes is scared, sometimes is angry, sometimes is sad or happy, or, you know, whatever the emotion is. But it's all because of everything from monsters to mother-in-laws, teachers and bosses, finances, COVID going around. You know, there's nothing like a pandemic to just shake everybody up. And it all of these are external, and they seem to be crashing down in on this guy. So all the things the outsider coming in, that affects the way I think and feel and behave. And in reality, what the Bible says to be true actually looks more like this, that we think about those things. We meditate on those things. We go over them and over them and over them. And what we put in our head long enough eventually goes into our heart. So my thoughts determine my feelings rather than the other way around. Because a lot of times we think, well, I feel this way, that's why I'm thinking like this. That's why I'm acting like this. I'm talking like this. And it's all, I'm a victim of my feelings. Only the Bible goes on to say that in reality, those things that we think about, especially the evil, dark things, when they get into our heart, they don't stay there. They come out. So out of my heart is coming things like slander and clamor against other people, all kinds of evil talk, anger, wrath, bitterness, and even malice, wanting harm for somebody else. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. So what you're treasuring, what you're putting in your heart, for out of the abundance of the heart, it's going to bubble up, the mouth speaks. So the things that you are putting in your heart sooner or later are going to come out of your mouth, which is why we shouldn't be surprised when those things pop out of our mouth. And most of the time people look at it and they go, oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't really me. That was the moment I was super upset. And the Bible would actually argue, no, that was really you. The veil that you have put up that kind of hides what's really going on in your heart and soul and mind got pulled back by something like a hammer that hit your thumb, or a situation that went really wrong, or somebody who cut you off in traffic. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Again, there's a lot of people who go, well, I didn't really mean it. I was just blowing off steam. And again, the Bible would say, actually, in that moment, you got angry, you got upset, and you said things that normally, were it not for your anger, were it not for your bitterness, were it not for your wrath, you would have held in, but they poured out because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's the antidote to that? And obviously it is to fill our hearts with the right thing. So we fill them with the glory of the cross. We fill them with the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ has died in our place, has taken our penalty of sin, has nailed it to the cross in his own flesh, has given us his righteousness in exchange, has made us adopted as sons and daughters. We fill it with God's word, meditating on the scripture, the revelation of who God is and how he loves and is working to save us, how he is interacting with the world around us, meditating on the fact that Christ is the King of Kings, that he is the King upon the throne over all of the universe. It is to him alone that we look. It's in him alone that we hope. And I'm telling you, if you fill your mind with that again and again, it will find its way into your heart. It's just how it works. Again, there's a lot of pushback in our world. I just got a couple verses I want to read to you on this. We tend to think it is all those other people's fault, right? It's the monsters in our life. It's those evil teachers if you're in school. It's that terrible boss that you have. And in reality, God's word says this, James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. What causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? So when things go wrong relationally with you and somebody else, what causes it? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So it's actually within me, within my heart. You desire, right? Desires come from our heart and you don't have. And so you murder, you covet, you can't obtain. And so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And so that the Bible is going to point me to, actually, the problem lies in my heart. There's things that I want. There's things I desire. And because I don't get them, I will go to war with those around me. I will fight with the people, even those who are closest, family members, husband, wife. Why? Because my wicked, hard heart. Again, we read from Luke 6:45 that says that what we're going to draw on is what either good or bad that we've packed down inside of our heart. And so Ephesians is going to remind us we're to be taking off the old man and putting on Christ. So that which is formerly having residence in my heart, I'm going to be pulling out strand by strand, bit by bit, repenting of what I need to repent of. Until we get to the place where we can say, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is good for building up fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, for you were sealed for the day of redemption. And so here's what he says. Let all bitterness, if you remember what comes out of us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. That doesn't mean that, like this guy, we dump it on everybody else. No, instead, because we choose to fill our heart with the gospel, we can be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So Christian, that's your story, that you are who you are because God in Christ has chosen to be kind to you, has chosen to be merciful, has chosen to forgive you. And it gives us the opportunity to do that with other people. So that's kind of the outward others focus of this thing. But I think there's a step before that because it actually starts in our own heart. This coming week, we're going to be looking at three different Psalms, Psalm 19, Psalm 27, Psalm 63, and specifically looking at those Psalms as the God that I see. So Psalm 19 is going to say that the heavens declare the glory of God. It's written all around us. We cannot miss the glory of who this God is. And Psalm 27 is going to say that's the God who saves. So this God whose story is written everywhere around me is the God who saves. He is my hope. He's my salvation. He's my rock, my fortress. And then end with Psalm 63 as David says, and therefore this is the God that I seek. God, I know this is who you are, and therefore I will seek you and I will cling to you. That's the hope of where we're going. And the reason we have to start there, rather than starting with the externals, other people, rather than just having a class on, hey, here's how to be nice to people. Here's how to not cut somebody off in traffic or get upset and say the wrong thing. That's just behavioral modification that doesn't change our heart. You can come up with the biggest jerk in the world, be face to face with him and decide, I'm not saying any of these things that are going through my mind. I'm not saying them out loud to him. and it doesn't change your heart at all. Your heart can be hard towards this person, even to the place of anger and wrath and clamor and slander, all the way down to malice. I actually want bad things to happen to this person. See, just holding your tongue doesn't change your heart. What we need is God's word to change us. And so to go along with the sermon this week, we have these sermon note handouts reminding us, as we did a few weeks ago, that this moment is an opportunity for God's glory to be put on display in me. So why is God allowing me to go through this? Because he wants his glory to be put on display. As we did a few weeks ago, the last fill in the blank that we're going to have on Sunday is actually from Psalm 27. And it's going to go through this four count breathing cycle. So on the two pages, if you're seeing this podcast, it's the page that's on your left hand side down there at the bottom, where you're breathing in for four counts, you're holding it for four, you're breathing out for four, and then holding it for four. And in that, as you're breathing in, you're reminding yourself, and this is in the panic of the moment when the emotion has just completely overwhelmed you. When you hear something like, this moment is an opportunity for God's glory to be put on display in me, and you go, yeah, right, there's no way. That doesn't even make sense. In that moment, we're going to breathe in the goodness of God. And so breathing in, I believe that I shall look on the goodness, and then you hold it, of the Lord in the land of the living. By the way, that's not just heaven in the sky one day when I die. Like, right now, I believe that God is good and God is faithful and God is at work in this situation. And then breathing out, wait for the Lord, be strong. And then holding it, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. After you have done that, and the encouragement a few weeks ago was spend some time, if it feels like those emotions are overwhelming. And here's the trigger to that. God's built in a little alarm bell. Just for the way of example, we have, most of us have fire alarms in your house or where you work. And we had one of the fire alarms at the church, the battery had gone out in it. And so they, even the alarm gives you an alarm. And so you, if you have them at your house, you know exactly what they do. They start beeping, they start chirping at you. And just, you know, like once it's long enough apart where if you go looking for it, you walk into the room, you can't find it. And as soon as you walk out, it does it again. You're like, doggone it. Where is that thing? So it was one at the church and it was chirping. We're walking around trying to find it. And we finally discover it. And there was a young guy who was out here at the church. And I won't throw Liam Mormon under the bus. I won't mention his name. That would be wrong. Liam, we miss you. Hope you guys are doing great. Anyway, so Liam's going to help me. He's out in the hallway. So we got this gigantic ladder right outside the church office. And he goes squirreling up that thing, opens it up, takes the battery out. And I had walked down to get him a new battery. And by the time I got back, he had it closed up. And the ladder was folded up against the wall. And I said, hey, did you find a battery to put in that to change the battery? And he says, no, I just took it out so it wouldn't chirp anymore. And I'm like, you're right. It won't chirp anymore, but it's no longer a fire alarm, right? It doesn't work anymore. And then he said something awesome like, well, that's what I did at home. And then John's eyeballs about popped out of his head. Good learning moments for our young guys. And I don't know. It was just cool. Just a side thought on my side thought. It was super cool to see the Mormons at the family camp that we had. And I don't know if you noticed, but just a couple months goes by and Liam just looks like a grown up man now. So it's cool to see him grow up and learn things like that. But God's built those alarms into our heart and into even our body, where when you start feeling that anxiety, that crushing depression, whatever those thoughts are, you can feel it when it escalates and it starts sitting on your chest. It's almost just like your chest is somebody sitting on your chest. Other people describe it as you just feel like your stomach is dropping. It is a physical sensation that tells you something's really, really wrong. And in that moment, that's when you need to pull this out and begin to breathe this thing. So breathing in for four, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness, two, three, four, hold it for four, of the Lord in the land of the living. Breathe out for four. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Hold it. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Do that three times, and I promise you, your mom was right when she told you to calm down and take a deep breath. Just that will help you to start to reclaim a little bit of that emotional control, physical control, mental control over what you're thinking. And then you flip that paper over, and on the back, it's got a couple different exercises. One is after you've taken a few deep breaths and reminded yourself of God's word, go through and read the rest of the scriptures that are at the bottom there. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the things that I think about, the things that I allow to cycle through my mind, let them be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That God is where our redemption comes from. He's our rock. He's our fortress. That he is our help in times of trouble. And so we're saying, God, let my heart and mind be fixed on you. There's a verse from Psalm 27 that's in there. There's a verse from Psalm 63 that's in there. Just read those and be reminded of God's great faithfulness. And hopefully reminded. That's why at the bottom of the page it says, breathe, read, and pray. And then talk. If you try and pray about it when you feel super duper flustered, what ends up happening is nothing. You just end up super frustrated in your prayer, usually end up just quitting early, as opposed to, I'm going to take a few deep breaths. I'm going to reclaim some control. And then I'm going to read. I'm going to meditate on God's word, even if it's just three short passages. And I'm just going to sit with those a little bit. And then I'm going to pray those back to God. So just look with me, if you're watching the podcast, look with me at just that first one, praying that back to God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Maybe that sounds something like, God, let the things that I think about even now, when I feel so out of control, when I feel it's so overwhelming, and I just want to shut the door and lock everybody out. I just want to hide from this thing. And yet, God, I know that you are in it. You are my rock. You're the thing that keeps me safe. Not this moment, not this situation, not those people. God, you're the one I trust in. You're my redeemer. You're the one who knows me and loves me. And so let me think about the right things. Let my heart be settled on the right things, and let it be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Just finding ways to pray God's word back to him, where you're just letting your heart overflow with those words. And then one more thing that was on that paper, and that is list off, actually write them down five times God has been faithful to me. So I'm going to recapture control by taking a few deep breaths. I'm going to meditate on God's word. And then I'm going to remind myself, which we're going to see this coming week, the psalmists do this again and again, of God's great faithfulness. In fact, throughout the Psalms, we have this pattern of lament. God, I wish things weren't the way that they were. And then what do? They anchor their hope in the steadfast love of God and his faithfulness. Those two things, his steadfast love, his nature and his character that is unchanging towards his people, and his faithfulness. God has a track record of being faithful in your life. God has been working in your life, but the problem is this moment can be so bad that we forget, and we sort of want to drop out of the race. We say, I think nobody cares, even God doesn't care. Remind yourself of at least five times that God has demonstrated his faithfulness to you. And if you can't think of them right off the top of your head, that's a good time to just sit down and not get up until you've come up with them. Because the reality is God has been faithful. He has worked in your life. We have also been forgetful, and we need to be reminded of God's steadfast love. So that's, Lord willing, that's where we're going on Sunday. And I want to just throw this out because we aren't going to be able to have the podcast next week. We're going to be in Kentucky, at least have it in this forum. So just wanted to encourage you with that, point you towards greater faithfulness in following the Lord and trusting in him, in setting your heart and mind and affections upon him. So Lord willing, we will see you this coming Sunday. Sunday school is at 9 o'clock, and we will worship together at 10 a.m. All right. God bless. We'll see you then.